Hello everyone, welcome to the Pericaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. Hello everybody, so glad that you could be with us this morning. I'm excited to continue on in the book of 1 Peter. And so if you will, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I only have two verses to read to you this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. And as we are getting started, I want to ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you feel like you stood out? Or maybe a time in your life where you felt like you didn't belong in a sense. There's been times in my life where I have felt, you know, that I've that I stand out, or you know, that you feel like you're the odd man out, so to speak. And there's been different times that I've felt that, and I think we all have at some point. We all desire to belong, we all desire to fit in, and so there are times where we don't feel that way, and we definitely know what that feels like. One of the times I felt extremely out of place, or I should say out of my comfort zone, and felt immediately like I didn't belong, was whenever we started to do homeless ministry. And the reason I felt out of place was because I was going into a world or an environment that I'd never experienced before. From a small town in southeastern Oklahoma, and we don't have hardly any homeless people. And so when I moved to Edmond, and God has used our church in incredible ways to minister to the homeless, and our pastor, Pastor Blake, challenged us in ministering to the homeless. And that's exactly what Jesus told us to do, is to minister to the least of these, right? And so I remember we went out for the first time, and man, I felt so out of place. Not that anyone made me feel that way. You know, most of the time when we feel things, it's because we do it to ourselves, not because anyone has said anything or done anything that makes us feel a certain type of way. A lot of times it's our own insecurities, our own self-consciousness, right? And so I remember going out for the first time and doing homeless ministry, and man, what a joy it is. I mean, there's nothing like it, ministering to the homeless, but in a way they minister to me. And so I love going out, but I remember going out for the first time, and they have their home, you know, their community, you know, and they have these several tents that are up, and they have a, you know, they're all surrounded in an area, and they all you know, congregate together, and it's their community. And you know, when we show up, obviously we stand out. And I'll never forget that feeling. But at the same time, you know, we're able to minister to them, and still do. But there's times in my life where I felt that. I felt like I've stood out. And we come to a passage of scripture today where Peter is talking about that it's, when it comes to the Christian life, it's good to stand out. And God has called us and saved us, and because of that, we will always and we should stand out. We come to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and he's talking about a Christian's conduct. But I love the words he uses. Look at verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles," literally as aliens — this world is not your home, you don't belong here — "but as exiles," and you know what it's, we've talked about this before, but you can think of Old Testament narratives about the people of God being in exile. Foreign land, foreign language, foreign foods, foreign culture, everything was foreign. It's not where they belong. And so he says, "I urge you as sojourners and exiles." And so he's speaking to Christians here, and he's telling them, this is how you should live. This is how your conduct ought to look like, is in this way. Because you're sojourners, you're aliens, this world is not your home. Because you're exiles, you're in a foreign place, a transitional place. This isn't your final dwelling place. We know that one day we're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. So this isn't the end for us. But nevertheless, we're in the midst of a foreign place, a world that's not our home. We're aliens, we're exiles, sojourners, we don't belong here. How are we to live? And you can know that, you can, I mean, it's so clear that the people of God would, or in Peter's time, are asking the same question. How are we supposed to live? We're being persecuted. We're facing all kinds of trials and opposition. How are we to live? And so Peter begins. This is kind of a preface to the rest of the book, because he's going to give you an overview. He's going to sum up a preface, if you will, of the rest of the book. Right? He's been talking about encouragement and this is who you are in Christ. You've been born again to a living hope. You are the new Israel, your spiritual Israel. You have all the promises that God promised Israel. They're now yours in Christ Jesus. And so now he's telling them all this encouragement. Now he says, okay, this is how you ought to live. Because you're exiles, because you're sojourners, this is how you ought to live. So we get to verse 11, and he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So what is the command here? As sojourners and exiles, do what? Abstain from the passions of the flesh. Why? Because they wage war against your soul. Okay, so if I'm supposed to abstain from the flesh, because these sinful things wage war against my soul, what should I do then? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Why? So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So what's the point? What is Peter telling us to do? He says, this is an exile's conduct. This is how you ought to live. Abstain from the flesh and live honorably. And that's going to be the preface of everything he's going to teach us. He's going to go in more detail and start talking about specific aspects of life and culture. But he says, I can sum it up all by saying this: abstain from the passions of the flesh, live honorably. So he tells us to abstain from the flesh. That's the first way. So what's the exile's conduct? Number one, abstain from the flesh. In verse 11, he tells us why. Because these things wage war against your soul. The first aspect of an exile's conduct is that we abstain from our fleshly desires. We do this because, first and foremost, we've been redeemed by God. We've been called to so much more. He says, listen, because of who you are, because you're God's elect, because you're God's chosen people, because God has saved you from your sin, you can't. He says, abstain from the fleshly, sinful desires that are in your life. Why would you continue in these things that God has saved you from? He says, this is foolish. Don't abstain from these things. And then he tells us why. Not just because you're sojourners and exiles, but because they wage war against your soul. And a little bit deeper into that is these things make us ineffective. They hold us back from serving Christ. Listen, you cannot walk in sinful habits and sinful desires. You can't walk in these things and pursue these things and expect to be effective for the kingdom. I read recently in a book that talking about not necessarily this passage, but Hebrews chapter 12, talking about stripping things off so that we can run the race, right? Stripping these things off. Well, in the first Olympics, athletes would run naked. They would literally strip off every article of clothing and run naked. Why? Because they didn't want anything to hold them back and make them ineffective in the race that they were running. Now, I'm not telling you to strip your clothes off, but what I am telling you is the same thing that Peter's telling us. Listen, these things wage war against your soul. They make you ineffective. They destroy you spiritually speaking. You won't lose your salvation, but he's saying these things make you ineffective. Satan can't steal your salvation or take away your salvation, but he can definitely make you ineffective. When you follow the passions of the flesh and you pursue the things of the world, you will become ineffective for the kingdom. Not only does it hold you back, cause you to lose your lack of focus, but it also hurts your witness. It destroys your witness. I mean, just think about it. If you're pursuing the things of the world and then you try to stand up to somebody in the world and say, man, you should really follow Jesus, you know, not pursue these sinful things, but pursue Jesus. And they look at you and they say, well, man, you pursue these things. Who are you to tell me that I shouldn't pursue sinful things whenever you are taking place, you're taking place in these things. You're doing these things. So who are you to tell me I shouldn't be living this way, or that I should trust Jesus and I should live for Jesus? We become hypocritical, and it hurts our witness. Peter says this not only affects you spiritually, but it affects others spiritually. He said, abstain from these things, flee from these things, reject these things. But it's not just don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He says in verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. He tells us to live honorably. He exhorts us not to just abstain from the fleshly desires that we have, but to also live honorably, live in holiness, live in a godly way. This means that our witness matters. Because why? Why should we live honorably? Why should we keep our conduct among the Gentiles honorable? And why would it say Gentiles? Well, Peter's saying that if you're a Christian, you are the spiritual Israel, right? In the Old Testament, God had his people, his chosen people, the nation of Israel. And then everyone else were Gentiles. They weren't part of the covenant community of Israel. They were Gentiles. They were outside of covenant community with God. So Peter says, Christians, anyone that confesses Jesus Christ and believes in him, that is a born-again Christian, they are spiritual Israel, God's spiritual chosen people. And everyone outside of that are Gentiles, the rest of the world. So when he says Gentiles there, he's saying lost people, people that aren't saved, people that aren't in relationship with God. So he says, live honorably amongst lost people is technically what he's saying. So what does that mean? It means our witness matters. We are to live in such a way that others will see the gospel in us. In verse 12, he says, live honorable. And why? So that when they speak against you as evildoers, he says, listen, they're going to criticize you. You don't talk like they talk. You don't live like they live. You don't support the things they support. They're going to have issues with you. But you should live in such, you should live in such a way that when they see your good deeds, when they see your holiness, they see the way you love, they see the way you live, they see the way you speak, the way you treat others, the way you forgive, the way you reconcile, the way you live a godly, honorable life, that your life, your witness, will lead to their conversion. That's what he says. He says that they'll see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Literally, when God returns, they'll be glorifying God. Why? Because they've watched the way you've lived and it's led to their conversion. Now, that doesn't mean that that we have to live perfectly, and if we don't, then people won't be saved. That's not what I'm saying. But what Peter is trying to get us to understand is that our witness matters. That when you live, when you claim to be a Christ follower, your life should prove it. Charles Spurgeon says that holiness is when lips and life agree, when they tell the same story. He's saying, the way you talk, you say, I'm a Christ follower, I love Jesus. Man, God's changed my life. I've trusted in the gospel, I've been saved, I've been set free from the presence of sin, the power of sin and the penalty of sin, and one day I'm going to be set free from the presence of sin. And I live for Jesus now. He says, your lips and your life should agree. If you claim to know Christ, you better live like it. And Peter says the same to us. Live in such a way that when people look at your life, your lips and your life agree. And so, what is the exile's conduct? An exile's conduct, if we are exiles, right? This world's not our home. We're aliens, sojourners, exiles. This world's not our home. How are we to interact with this world? Well, number one, we abstain from the flesh. And number two, we live honorably. Live in such a way that it points people to Christ. The fact of the matter is you can't do this apart from Christ. Listen, there's only one who abstained from the flesh and lived sinlessly. There's only one who did that, and it's Christ Jesus. So I'm not telling you, if you're listening to this and you're maybe new to Christianity, what I'm not saying is I'm not telling you just try harder. Don't be bad and just be good. That's not what I'm saying. This is to Christians, people that have put their faith and trust in Christ. Because the fact of the matter is, in your own flesh, your own humanity apart from Christ, you can't live. You can't abstain from the flesh, and you can't live honorably. So the only way that you can abstain from the flesh and live honorably, first and foremost, is to have a relationship with Christ. And so if you're an unbeliever, the takeaway for you this morning or whenever you're listening to this is the first takeaway is for you to trust Christ, because you cannot live this way apart from him. There's only one who lived this life perfectly, and that's Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. He died for you, and he wants to save you from your sin. He's your substitute. And if you trust in him, you can be made right with God. But for believers listening, how are you supposed to live this way? Well, the first thing I would tell you is to find accountability. Listen, the scripture and the spirit are sufficient. God is the one that's going to put these things, these desires in you. God's going to be the one that helps you to live this way. But practically speaking, if you don't have anyone in your life to hold you accountable, it's going to be very difficult to abstain from the flesh and live honorably. The problem with people and with myself is if I don't have accountability in my life, I will fall at any moment. I don't trust myself nearly enough to not have accountability. I know if Ashton Wright is left to his own ways, I will destroy my life. I have to have accountability. I have to be grounded in the Word. I have to trust the Holy Spirit and listen to the Spirit of God. But I got to have people in my life that say, "Man, examine your life. Ask me the hard questions." But it's not just finding accountability, but it's being bold in my witness, right? It's not just having people hold me accountable to abstain from the flesh, but I have to remember that I have to be bold in my witness. I have to live honorably. So man, stand up for truth. Stand up for Christ. Share the gospel. Live holy. Pursue the things of God. Be bold in your witness. Because that's how we abstain from the flesh, and that's how we live honorably. That should be our conduct. And so I hope that this has empowered you, exhorted you, comforted you, and I pray that this has, you know, you'll use this in your life, not just to hear it and be, "Man, that's so true," but actually allow God's word to deal with you, allow God's word to teach you and make changes in your life. I pray God's blessing on you. I pray God will use you this week to advance the kingdom, and I pray that God will use you for his glory this week. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.